As we continue moving through the Beatitudes and looking at the teachings of Jesus Christ correlate perfectly with what Christmas is about. And even looking at the Advent candles, and today we're going to talk about mercy and what hope that we have. If we're considering Christmas in the Advent time and celebrating hope, joy, peace, and love, and then ultimately we know Jesus Christ, mercy. Oh, we have that hope because of God's mercy, and that's what we're talking about today in 5:7. And then the purity that we get that can only come through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what joy it brings. And the blessed are the peacemakers. And here in 2 weeks, we'll be looking at those. And Christmas, we know it's peace. Even Hobby Lobby, you can big old decorations that say peace. And then the persecuted right before Christmas. And you're like, whoa, wait. Oh, the persecuted. Why? Because we are connected with Jesus Christ. And it is because of that love that he has that is countercultural, the love that God has, that love that is comes to be a part of us that we are persecuted for, but it's that love that gets us through it. Like persecution and Christmas, think about the Christmas story. Just think about it for just a minute and the persecution that was in the midst of that. A young lady who's pregnant before she's married in a culture where you'd go out and be stoned. A young man that takes her for his wife out of obedience to God, and then having to go and to Bethlehem, and they don't have a place to live or a place to stay, so they have to go into the stable, a place where things were that are born there are normally slaughtered. Well, there's a thought for you. And then having to flee to Egypt, and all the children in Bethlehem were killed. Oh, the Christmas story is full of persecution. And so just looking at that this week. But today we're in Matthew 5, and reading, we're going to focus on 7, but today I'm going to read the whole Beatitudes, 3 through 11. We know Jesus Christ is teaching these. If you have a red letter Bible, you see that these are the words of Christ, because they're all in red. We know that Jesus is on the side of a mount or a mountain, a big hill of sorts. He's teaching his disciples, but others are present too. And here, this is just a massive, beautiful beginning to what is the greatest sermon I think ever to be preached, and that is of Jesus Christ. But let's pray, and then we'll read Matthew 5, verses 3 through 12, and then we'll dive in together with the Word of God. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we do pray that as we study your Word together, we pray that Lord, you would be glorified. Jesus would be lifted up. We pray for the fellowship of your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord, and hearts to understand and know, Lord, the things that you have for us. And again, may we know your mercy, and Lord, may we live according to that mercy, and may we pass on that mercy that you teach us about today. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Again, all right, Matthew 5:3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Where we are today, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so here we see the Beatitudes, and today our focus is on verse 7 and about the merciful, that blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And so what does it mean to be merciful? The merciful is to have a forgiving spirit, somebody who has a forgiving spirit, somebody who has a compassionate heart. And it is And again, not just a forgiveness for those who have done wrong, but there's even more with it. There's an empathy. There's an empathy, and if you know about empathy, it's getting inside of somebody's heart, mind, circumstance, and getting the experience from their perspective, and feeling what they are feeling, and it's an intentional act of the will to try to understand their situation and to pray for them and to be a part of that, and then act in however is needed, whether forgiveness or mercy or generosity or however it that we are led to do so. And but the opposite of this would be that which is hard or cruel and unforgiving and unfeeling. And unfortunately, sometimes even within the church of God, not this church and not the church of God down the street, but I'm just saying, even those who would proclaim themselves to be righteous, we sense this at times. But we know there's some truths in Scripture. We know that God only forgives those who forgive other people. We see that verse, and then we also know that what we read here, that a person receives mercy if he or she is merciful to other people. So let's read about a merciful person. First, a merciful person is somebody who has the love of God dwelling inside them. And I want to take a look. We're going to look at several scriptures. I enjoy exploring the Word of God with you, and then we're going to write those down if I'm moving too quickly, so you can follow through. Last week I did give you, however, Colossians 3 verse 19. That was my handwriting was not readable to those who are doing the screen. It was actually Colossians 3 9. So if you looked up 9:18 and it says this doesn't mean a thing, well, it was 3:9. And let's look at together, Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 9. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 9. And again, talking about to hear that that a merciful person is somebody who has the love of God in them. Listen to this. There's several scriptures here, but it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world." And it's laying down the reality of our culture before we get into the mercy here. And it says, "According to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh." He's calling us out and saying, remember when? "And indulging the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." Oh, and here comes the mercy in verse 4. "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Oh, and by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so no one may boast." And then it goes on talking about how we are his workmanship. But we see this mercy that Christ is talking about here, this mercy that a person of Christ represents, that pours out. It is that which comes from God first, from his love, from his mercy for all of us, as we saw in those first three passages, that we were, what did it call us, sons of wrath, or it was not good. Regardless of what it was, but because of God's love, because of his mercy, he has come into our life and brought us through faith to a place of salvation. And it is a merciful person. It is this type of person that has the love of God dwelling in them, which is able to be, or who is able to be merciful. Next, we know it is a person who has the generosity of God dwelling in them. In Acts 20, verse 35, we find where Paul states a saying of Christ. It says, in everything, I've showed you that by working hard in this manner, right here about generosity, you must help the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to what, church? Than to receive. And so there's this generosity that is taught by Christ, this generosity and this forgiveness, this mercy that comes from a work that God has done in our life, that he has done it to us first. He has provided for us. He has provided salvation for us. He has forgiven us of sins. And that this merciful person is one that has the Spirit of God working in him, that we can pass on that which is not ours, but that which is Jesus, or that is God through Jesus Christ, that passes on through us. And some of you are going to get excited, but the big idea is just in the middle today. But the big idea here is that every believer can be merciful. Every believer can be merciful. As you're writing that down, I won't go to there. I was going to do another side sermon, and I'm trying to get away from that. I want to talk about looking at some of the results how can every member or every believer be merciful? And I want to look at a few scriptures here today. I want to look specifically first in Galatians verse 6, and look at verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. Yeah, Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Listen to what's written here. And think about who we are as the church. And think about our expectations of purity and our expectations of maybe perfection in the church. And we are the, you know, Christians, and we ought to be this and we ought to be that. But listen to this. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, that means somebody's messed up. I mean, somebody has stumbled. I mean, somebody who is of the body has had an issue of some sort. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. And it says, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. And it says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. So the merciful, mercy for a believer, a follower of Christ, starts within the family of Christ. That there is going to be tough times. There is going to be those that stumble. There are going to be those, what did they say, caught in any trespass. Whatever that looks like, however that's defined, however we experience that, it talks about the merciful here. The mercy starts here. There's restoration in the family of God. There is where there's bearing a burden, not to where we get so involved to where we get tempted ourselves, but there is the love of Christ and the generosity of Christ working through us in such a way to where we bring restoration here within the body of Christ. And then, of course, we can extend that out as well. Next, I want to look at 1 John. 1 John, and chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, looking at the part of being generous. How can we be generous? And 17, you know, 17 is on the board. We just can't ignore this. The gospel's right in 16. For we know, and you're not going to see it. I'm just reading verse 16 before we get to the 17 here. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Oh, I couldn't skip that. I should have added that there. But it says, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Wow. So it talks about how we see our brethren in need. And if we have something and we see our brethren, we could extend that. It could be our neighbor. Could be somebody who's not a follower of Christ too. But again, the generosity, the mercy that is needed is filled with because of what God has done for us and because of his love for us, his love in us, his love overflowing through us, first through forgiveness, and through restoration and through helping others, and then also in their time of spiritual need by being generous. And then reading on to 18, where it says, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Oh, it takes actions. It takes actions. And James talks about some of those actions when we get over into verse chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. We're familiar with these, I'm sure. Where James writes, again, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Again, James kind of shaming us, if I can use that term, to where he says, hey, mercy has action to it. Mercy does have forgiveness. Mercy has love. Mercy has restoration. But also whenever our brother is down or our neighbor is down and they have a need, not a want, not this or that. Talking about a need is mentioned food and clothing and forgiveness. And whenever they have it, there is an action where we go and we meet their needs the way through what how God has blessed me. And that could be sacrificial sometimes. But again, mercy, mercy. But the results of being merciful, we're going to see, are numerous. There's so many that we don't have time to explore. You know, I would love to explore them all with you. But today, I just want to look at a few. First, we're there already in James. If you turn there, if not, write that down. Let's back up some, and verse 13, and where again, James is blunt. James will hurt your feelings sometimes. But in chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. And it says, mercy triumphs over judgment. So the beauty, the benefit, the results of being merciful that we see here is that it triumphs over judgment, that God sees Christ in us, and with the blood of Christ, not only that blood of Christ has covered us, but the blood of Christ has changed us. The Spirit of God has filled us, and those fruits of the Spirit have poured out into us to where we have shown mercy. And because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and because of our faith, there is mercy in judgment. But it says for the merciless though, has shown no mercy. It's going to be merciless. Judgment is going to be merciless. I mean that is hard. It's not something that we want to hear at Christmas. But what we just read in Isaiah 61 that Christ has come. He has come to draw the line. He has come to bring grace and mercy and peace and life and restoration. But at the same time, he's saying which leads to that persecution that we're going to talk about here in about 3 weeks. But because of that line, because that merciless is really bringing out the deeds of evil in others. Not bringing out, they're already there. It's just revealing them. But again, those who are of Christ, those who are believers, we can be merciful by doing that which Christ has already done for us. Let's look at some wisdom, and this will be, well, we've got three more passages I want to look at. I'm going to look at Proverbs. We see some wisdom here in verses, not that we didn't see wisdom, but in chapter 11, verse 17. Listen to what is written here. It says, the merciful man does himself good. And then listen to this. But a cruel man does himself harm. Imagine that. So if we're not merciful, the opposite of that we see in Scripture would be cruel. So it is possible for us, if we're not showing the forgiveness, think about that for a minute. Is there anybody in your life, if you're a follower of Christ, or even if you're not a follower of Christ, if you're a follower of Christ today and there's somebody in your life whether they're in your own household, whether they're in your family, whether they live across the country, across the ocean, whether they're in this room, whether they're a neighbor, whoever they may be, is there somebody in your life that has upset you to a point where if you have yet to forgive them? Oh, you haven't shown that mercy. Oh, what we can gather and conclude from this passage, that is cruel. Not because of what they have done, but because of what you have not given them, because of what Christ has given to you. What about that? Is there anybody in your life right now today that you know they have a need? I mean, not that they want a new Xbox or a new iPad or iPod or I this or that, but they have a need. They need food. They need something. They need, you know, the basic needs in life, and you have the way to give it, but you just have yet to act on that. Scripture would say that is cruel. That is cruel. But the merciful man, he says, does himself good. Does himself good. How is it, what kind of good that can come from that? Oh, the mercies of God pours down on us. And let's look at, flip a few pages here if you're following with me. And in verse chapter 19, still 17, just happened that way. Listen to this, one who is gracious, and we could also tie that to mercy, one who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord. Imagine that. Somebody, I just kind of talked to you about, if you haven't given what you know you're supposed to give, that could be cruel, and you're like, Pastor, you don't know this guy. You don't know this girl. You don't know this family. You don't know the advantage that they've already taken, this or that. And it's their own dumb fault that they've gotten into the place that they are. Oh, you know, well, that's another sermon. But Lord still calls us to, he says, help the weak, not, you know, disregard the dumb. I mean, if we're talking about lining up for people who's ever done dumb things, well, I need to be first in line. But, or you might need to be in front of me. I don't know. But, it's about mercy and grace that God has shown us. But here, the one who is gracious to a poor man lends to who? To the Lord. So when we do everything we put our hands to, if we're doing it as we're doing it to the Lord, he is glorified. And listen to this. Well, who's going to repay me? And he, that's a capital H here, that is talking about God. And God will repay him for his good deed. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. As I mentioned last week, and when it comes to generosity and being able to teach science and coming across some things with students in my studying of resources and research and coming across the food pyramid, the energy pyramid. I mean, there is, in nature, it is set that there are things, everything first starts with the sun that God created for. I mean, we can go back to Genesis 1 and just have a blast right now. But God created the sun and the plants, and that creates the food. You know, everything that we have, we have energy in our bodies now because we have eaten something that eventually got its energy from the sun. And then, so you got the sun, you got the producers, the plants, you got the things that eat them, the things that eat them, the things that eat them. And scientifically, an observation that is in Scripture, that is in God's creation, is that all living things, what they pass on is 10%. 10%, 10%. Read about Melchizedek and Abraham. Again, what he gave a tithe of 10%, of 10%, of 10%. Am I asking you to give? Absolutely not. That's not what we're talking about. But there is a balance in this world when we not only receive, but when we pass on as well. And when one layer or one group or one person fails to pass on that which God has given us for the purpose of passing on, then there begins to get things out of balance and there becomes trouble in people's life and even in our own life. When we block a blessing, then blessings are blocked to us. And there it's, again, I'm not talking about, you know, the science here. It's a scientific observation that is true in God's creation. And we know in the things that we study in Scripture that those truths that we can find in what God has done through creation, we are a part of his creation, and those things are true of us as well. We have been called to pass it on, whether it be forgiveness, because we have received forgiveness. We have been called to pass it on if it's generosity, because we at some time have received generosity that's gotten us through somewhere. Oh, and if we're in a place to where we can help, we should pray. We should say, may you be blessed in this. But if we have the means, we should be passing on the mercy of God. And what about the gospel? You know, Josh just led us to sing that, go tell it all on the mountain. You know, we may not have a mountain here. We got a sand dune. You know, we got some flat land. You got a backyard. You got anything else. I want to pass it on. Sometimes, somewhere, we've heard the gospel that I just read from 1 John 3:16 that we also find in John 3:16, where there's a God who loves us, that because of his mercy, he sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and it is his blood that washes us clean. That's all what Christmas is about the Advent, that God kept his promise, and he sent Jesus Christ who lived a perfect life. And he died on the cross as a perfect man, and then he rose again after three days. And what he has done, he has defeated death, and through his blood that washes us clean through our faith because of what he has done, then we have received mercy and eternal life, and we have been restored to life. That gospel, that same message, that same truth that came to us, we are to be passing it on. It is mercy, and you're like, well, I don't understand. I don't speak well. A friend, I promise you, it is not because of the person who shared it that you came to Christ. It is because the Holy Spirit was working through that in such a way that it doesn't always make sense that changed your life. And your deeds, whether it's offering forgiveness to somebody you don't feel deserves it, if it's being generous to somebody who you may not otherwise do it, and if it's given a message of encouragement or sharing the gospel, I don't understand why you did this. The gospel doesn't always have to be how I just said it. You know, God's own son provides the eternal life. I mean, there is truth in that. There does come a time where when we use those words and that we explain, but why are you doing this? Let me tell you what's been done for me. We get those opportunities when we pass on. The Holy Spirit is working through us in ways that we don't always understand. Today I'm going to close, and then Josh will come and I'll pray. But I would like to close with just, again, the reading of Scripture. That's what we're told to do. Read the Scripture. When we gather, read from the Scriptures. I'm going to read from Colossians. I'm going to read Colossians 3 as we go. May these be the I'm going to read this, then we're going to pray, and then Josh is going to sing. If you would like to talk at the end of this, I'm going to be right over here, and I would love to talk to you. I'd love to pray with you. But we're going to read Colossians 3, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 17. Then we'll pray. So, as those who have been chosen of God, if you've been chosen of God, let's say amen. If you can't say amen, I would love to talk to you. I would love to talk to you. And that wasn't I didn't mean that to be a trap. That was just. But holy and beloved, it says, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we are thankful thankful for your mercy. Lord, we celebrate Christmas and all these festivities. And Lord, even though they've come from different angles and different traditions and different things, the purpose and the reasons of this is because of Christ, because of your love, because of your restoration that you have brought to mankind through faith and through what you have done. And we thank you, Lord, for your mercy that is there. And Father, I pray that which you have given to us, may we become conduits to where your mercy, your generosity, your forgiveness, and things such as those, Lord, that you have poured out in us, that we would not be a roadblock, that we would not be a clog, but that we would be those who receive it, who give you thanks, who praise your name, and then we also, Lord, pass it on, trusting, Lord, that you are a God who loves us, who keeps your promises, who will always forgive us, and Lord, that will always meet our needs. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and Lord, in this season, in this day, in this moment, we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.